Thanks for tuning into the Central Church Podcast. We exist to introduce people to Jesus and help them follow him. To learn more about Central, access tons of content, and find the location nearest you, download our Central Church app. But for now, we hope you enjoy this message, and we're so glad you could join us today.
I love you guys. Good to be here with you. Glad you're here today. Want to say a big shout out to each of our Central family locations. Thank you guys for being with us. If you're watching online, thank you for joining us. If you're joining us in our partnership with God Behind Bars and different prison facilities, we love you guys. We thank you for being with us today. All right. Well, I wonder how many of you handle books in your life in the modern age. Like for me, I've gotten to where I hardly ever read actual physical books anymore. I just read digital books like Kindle or on my iPad. How many of you are like digital people when it comes to books? You know, the thing about digital books is when you get older, you can blow that font up, baby. You can just blow that thing up. You can see it. It's awesome. But I had a book I was trying to read a couple weeks ago, and I had to have a physical copy because I couldn't get it digitally anywhere. And so I opened this book up, and it has really little print. And when I opened it up, I remember I had a problem. Like, I could not read it. I held it up close to my face, nothing, right? I couldn't read it. So I had to push it out a little further, still nothing. And I could get it clear if I push it out all the way here. Hang with me, young people. This old people problems right here, okay? I push it out a little further, and then I can, like, see it, but now it's so far out, it's ridiculous, right, to read it. So I thought, I got to go get my prescription looked at, you know, my lenses looked at. So I go out, I go to the eye doctor, and I get kind of the whole test, and sure enough, he puts a whole new prescription on where I'll be able to see better up close and still see okay from a distance. But the challenge is, when I put these glasses on, now I can't see anything like right here. Like, I can see really good right here, can see really good out there, but I can't see anything like right in, I mean, like walking is now a problem. I almost fell down the stairs. You know, it's crazy, right? I'm tripping all over myself. I feel like I'm punch drunk. And so this went on for several days. I finally went back, and I've got an appointment this next week. I got set up. I'm hoping to just go back to my old prescription. So I've been thinking about focus the last couple weeks and how I don't have any. And man, you know, how you see something has everything to do with how you kind of navigate that something. And I think the same is true in our spiritual life. The same is true with what we're walking through right now in the situation we're in with this pandemic. Like, how you see your situation has everything to do with how you navigate the situation. And if you're not seeing clearly, if you're not seeing from a biblical perspective, if things are getting fuzzy, man, it can lead to all kinds of trip-ups. In fact, right now, I think the temptation is for us to see our situation through the lenses of our fatigue, right? Through the lenses of our exhaustion, right? We're tired of the pandemic. We're tired of restrictions. We're tired of challenges. We're tired of friends getting sick. We're tired of the whole thing, right? We're tired of masks. We're tired of social distancing. We're tired of being told, like, we're three, we need to wash our hands. We're just tired. Right? And the temptation is to just see everything through the lens of the situation right now. It's Thanksgiving. But is this Thanksgiving going to be like other Thanksgivings? Are you going to be able to even see some of your family and friends? You know, are you going to be able to gather around a table? It's going to be different this year. And so all of it can affect how we see. And I want to talk to you today about the power of seeing our current situation from the perspective of God's long-term, loyal, faithful love. Because I think it can change how we face even the next days and weeks. Here's my good news for you today. God is doing long-term good despite short-term setbacks. He's doing long-term good despite short-term setbacks. And so everything, as you read through the Bible and you learn about who God is, when you base your life on his character, you realize that you may go through a season of challenge, right? But God ultimately is going to give you a lifetime of blessing. His loyal love will see you through. In fact, I would put it this way. God's love will see you through whatever you are going through. And you got to take that perspective in and internalize it in this season. So today we've been in this teaching series called Love Never Fails. I want to share with you one of my favorite stories from the Old Testament of the Bible that's a picture really of God's love for all of us. And it's about a guy named Mephibosheth. Turn to the person next to you and say, Mephibosheth. How'd that go? I'm going to butcher his name, and I've been working on this all week, and this really is one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament, but I have like a mental block with Mephibosheth's name. I get it wrong all the time. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1 sort of teased the story up for us. Let me kind of lay the groundwork a little bit. Mephibosheth is the son of a guy named Jonathan, who was the son of Saul, who was king. So he was the grandson of the king, Saul, in Israel. Saul was an interesting guy, but many people would say a generous explanation would be to say he's not a wise king in his life, and eventually he's replaced by King David. So King David steps into his power, and once he's all established, in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1, he asks this sort of really fascinating question. When we get to the red word, I'll ask you to help me here. But David says, one day David asked, is anyone in Saul's family still alive? Anyone to whom I can show what? Kindness for Jonathan's sake. Now, Jonathan was like one of David's closest friends. The Bible says they were closer than brothers. They loved each other. They had each other's backs. And Saul had been a terrible king to David. Saul had tried to have David killed. In fact, many of the great psalms that you read in the Old Testament, the songbook, if you will, of ancient Israel, the book of Psalms, many of those psalms were written by David when he was on the run from King Saul. He's hiding out in caves. His life's in danger. His whole world's upside down. People are literally trying to kill him for no reason. And so he put David through a lot. And yet, even after all of that, look at David's heart. One day David says, man, is there anyone in Saul's family that's still alive? Now, typically in this time in the ancient world, like when a king died, you know, and the new king assumed the throne, you basically either come in and banish them and their whole family, or you would execute them and their whole family. But David's saying is there anybody from his family still alive? Anyone to whom I can show kindness? And I believe this is a picture of God's love for us, a picture of the heart of God, that God loves us and cares about us, and that God is also asking today, who can I show kindness to? You know, David made a lot of mistakes in his life, but the Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. And I think the story of Mephibosheth is the story of how David represents the heart of God towards an individual. So he says, is there anybody around that I can show kindness to from Saul's family? First challenge, if we're going to hang on to God's loyal love, is to simply look beyond Lodabar. Look beyond Lodabar. I'll tell you what that means in just a minute. I went on social media, and there's an Instagram account called Sad Topography. And Sad Topography has all these like hilariously horrible names of topography in different places where people are. And so check this out. One of them is Disenchantment Bay. How'd you like to take a cruise? Where are you going? We're going to Disenchantment Bay. Some of you are like, I'm on that cruise right now. That's my living room, Disenchantment Bay. Here's another one, Nothing, Arizona. And some of you have driven through Nothing, right? If you've gone from like the Arizona, Phoenix area to Vegas, you might have driven right through Nothing, but you wouldn't know because you guessed it. There's nothing there. Nothing, Arizona. But this is interesting. Imagine if your house was at the corner of Pain Lane and Suffering Lane. Where do you live? At the corner of pain and suffering. Feels kind of real right now, doesn't it? Some of you are like, this is my apartment. This is where I live. This is my life right now. I'm at the corner of pain and suffering. And then one more. This is actually a real beach in Australia, Quarantine Beach. That's a little too real. A little too real. And we just want to get off the beachhead. It's interesting, as you look at the biblical story, there's another place where Mephibosheth lives that could land on the Sad Topography Instagram page if it was rolling back then, and it's a place called Lo Debar. In fact, 2 Samuel chapter 9, let's just jump there, and we'll see how David kind of finds out about this. David asks, is there anybody I could show kindness to? And Ziba replied, yes, one of Jonathan's sons is still alive. He's crippled in both feet. Where is he? The king asked. He's in Lo Debar. Just think about that. That just sounds bad, doesn't it? Like where are you from? Lo Debar. I mean, it's like, remember that song, that limbo song? You know, did you ever do the limbo thing where they'd have the stick and you had to like go lower and lower? And the song was always like, how low can you go? Remember that? How low? Well, listen, from a biblical standpoint, Lo Debar was the end of the line. It was like as low as you could go. It was bad. In fact, Lo Debar has a couple meanings. One meaning is no pasture. Like this is not, you know, think of Psalm 23, God, the Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. One meaning of Lo Debar is no pasture. There's no place to lie down. There's no place where you can find peace. There's no place where you can find rest. Everything is tense and stressful. There's no pasture. Another meaning of Lo Debar is this, there's no word. You ever felt like you're in a season in your life where there's just no word, no clarity, no purpose, no sense to it, right? That's what it was like to be at Lo Debar. It's the last stop on the train, baby. It's the end of the line, man. There's no pasture, there's no peace, there's no rest, there's no word. And here's this guy, Mephibosheth, that's where he lives. And not only that, he's crippled. Did you see that? Ziba says to Jonathan, he's crippled in both feet. Now, the story's we don't know all the details, but when Saul's kingdom fell, Saul died. His son Jonathan, who was like David's dearest friend, he had died earlier in battle. The family scatters. Most of them are dead. And a servant picks up Mephibosheth. He's 5 years old. And basically runs. You know, it's like Saul's dead, this whole thing's coming down, and we're out. And so she's running with Mephibosheth, and she trips and falls, drops him, and we don't know exactly what happened, but obviously he's crippled for the rest of his life. So he spends his life living with someone else in Lo Debar, off the radar, out of the way. Hopefully nobody knows he's even alive. Nobody knows who he is. He's forgotten. He's alone. It's bad. It's dark. It's barren, right? That's where he is. That's where he's hanging out. I mean, I just wonder today, we have any Mephibosheths in the room? Anybody who just feels like, man, they've missed out on their destiny? Anybody who feels like they're living a smaller life than they imagined that they would be. Anybody who's dealing with disappointment. Anybody who feels like God has forgotten them. Here's what I want to encourage you with today. Even though you may be in a dark place, God sees you. Everybody else might have forgotten you, but God knows exactly where you are. Everybody else might have thought you'd never be anything, but God's kept you on hold for such a time as this. Even though you may be suffering in silence, God can speak a word to you. Even though you may be dealing with wounds that others have given, God can restore you. Even though you may feel like it's too late, like you've missed your chance, like things can never be better, things can never be what you imagine, God can do a work in your life. He can give back what the years have stolen. He can give back what others have taken down. He can do more than you imagined, and he can give you a double or triple blessing in the years that remain in your life. Listen, God's blessing isn't limited just even to the time we have left in our life. We may be lost in Lo Debar, but God knows your address. He knows your history. This is for somebody today. He knows your wounds. He knows your potential. And I believe he's taking initiative and asking, to whom can I show kindness? right? Not based on anything that you've done, but based on his loyal love in Jesus Christ, based on what Jesus has done for you, based on all the sacrifice that Jesus has made for you. And I believe Jesus says today, hey, I know your name. I believe he points to your house. God hasn't forgotten you, even when you're in Lo-Debar. And that's where Mephibosheth finds himself. Broken person, cripple, somebody else has to take care of him. Somebody else has to, you know, get him from place to place. He's relying on other people. He was supposed to be the king. He was in line to be the king one day. And he's lived his whole life. And now he's in Lo-Debar. But the good news we're going to learn today is a broken life doesn't mean God has broken his promise. And this is a word for somebody right now. It may look pretty bleak right now. Maybe from an unemployment standpoint, maybe from a job standpoint, maybe from a future restrictions standpoint. There's a lot of uncertainty. It may look pretty bleak right now. Your life may feel pretty broken right now. Your marriage may feel like it's strained. Your patience with your children does feel like it's strained. But listen, just because things may be broken right now, that doesn't mean God has broken his promise. And I think the challenge for all of us is to look past the immediate frustration, not simply see it with our fatigue and our weariness. Don't just read the headlines with the lenses of your own fatigue on, but read the headlines from the standpoint of God's loyal love in Jesus Christ, believing that he is there, believing he's present, believing he hasn't abandoned us, believing he will see us through. Listen, God brought you this far. I said it a couple weeks ago, I'm like, hey, man, I know some people are ready to give up right now, but listen, God brought you this far all the way. We even got hope of a vaccine out there eventually. God brought you this far. Don't you quit now. Come on, man. You're still going. You got it in you because God will give you the power to face every day, one day at a time. You got to look past Lo-Debar and look to his loyal love. Here's another thought for you today, and that is to sit at the table, to sit at the table. It's Thanksgiving this week. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, I was always at the kids' table. And the way we did it in our house is we brought in all the folding tables from this outside patio area and folding chairs, and we set them all up. And the folding table that was furthest from the adults was the kids' table, and that's where I cut my teeth. That's where I grew up. Anybody have this experience? You know what I'm talking about? Now, and I know, like, you always wanted to get to the big people's table. Like, whoa, that's where the adults are, right? I'm over here. Some of you may be, like, 20, and you're still at the kids' table. But that's not the worst place to be. I mean, do you really want to sit at the adult table right now and talk about politics when you could be at the kids' table talking about how Robin stuffed animal became a bank robber and robbed a bank? Sounds way better to me. You really want to be at the adult table talking about taxes, or you can see some little kid, one comedian said it this way, you can see little Jimmy take a string of spaghetti and take it up his nose and then pull it out his mouth and do brain flossing. Come on, that only happens at the kids' table. But I remember the day when I was getting ready to take my food over to the kids' table. I was like 18. I'm not joking. But since I was about to graduate high school, move on in my life and all that, it was like, Judd, you can sit at the big table. And I had a seat at the table. Wow. Well, Mephibosheth is about to get a seat at the table. He gets called up to see the king, and he's terrified in a lot of ways in his own heart and life because he doesn't know what this is going to mean. And you read through the story, he thinks, is the king going to kill me? Is the, you know, now that I'm found out, I was just trying to lay low off the radar. Like, is he going to punish me? Well, you know, what's he going to do to me in this moment? He's lived through so much hurt and pain that all he can imagine in the future is more hurt and pain. And I think it's just important for us to stop for a minute and maybe get honest about our own hearts right here. I mean, have you felt that way about the future lately? Have you had some kind of bad to worse thinking in your life? You start thinking, man, the pandemic can only get worse. The schooling situation can only get worse. My finances can only get worse. My employment situation can only get worse. My relationships, man, they can only get worse. My mental health, well, it's as bad as it is. I don't think it can get any worse. Right? And so, you know, all of a sudden we start thinking everything is just going to get worse because you can't see a way through. You think that you are through because you're feeling low today. You start to think that things can only get lower because you're hurting today. You start to think that, hurt is on the way because you're facing a bad situation. You think you have a bad future. But listen, listen, times may be bad, but your God is still good, right? Your circumstances may be hard, but God's heart is soft in Jesus Christ. Your present may be filled with difficulty, but your destiny is still filled with possibility. And I believe God has a powerful love for you today. He has a long-term love for you, and His love will overcome whatever has you feeling overwhelmed. See, He's not only going to call you out of Lodabar, He's going to give you a seat at the table. Look at what happens to Mephibosheth. Check this out. 2 Samuel chapter 9, beginning in verse 7. He comes before the king. He doesn't even know what's going to happen in this moment. And here's what we read. "Don't be afraid," David says. "I intend to show kindness to you." That word kindness right there, it's the Hebrew word hesed. It's very important. We're going to come back to it. I'll just flag it up to you. "I intend to show kindness to you," has said to you, "because of my promise to your father, Jonathan. I will give you all the property that once belonged to your grandfather, Saul, and you will eat here with me at the what? At the king's table." Mephibosheth just got called up from the kids' table, y'all, to the king's table. You know who's at the king's table? The best, the brightest, the smartest, the most gifted. That's who sits at the king's table. But David would make sure that Mephibosheth sat at the king's table, check it out, the rest of his life. Somebody would pick him up and bring him in and set him down at the kid's table. You know why? Because he was the son of his best friend, Jonathan. And he made a promise to Jonathan years before. And friends, the reason this word's so important, hesed, kindness, is because it's a picture of God's love to us based on a promise that He made to us in Jesus Christ. Right? It's not just based on our actions. It's based on a relationship. And we see this word kind of throughout the Bible. In fact, let's go to our next slide. Let me just do a little word study here with you on the Hebrew word hesed, okay? Hesed's a fascinating word. It's used about 245 times in the Old Testament of the Bible, part of the Bible that's written in the Hebrew language. We really don't know how to translate it into English. It's almost like there's no English equivalent of this word. And so 75 times when it's used, 75% of the time, it's used as a reference to God's posture towards others. I mean, we just saw David use this word, saying that's what he's going to show to Mephibosheth. But in a lot of ways, it's just a picture of God, and the majority usage is God's love towards us. And so here's the way this word is translated into the English language. It's us trying to bring it over with a similar meaning, which it kind of falls short. It's translated as mercy, kindness, loving kindness, steadfast love, faithful love, abundant goodness, great loyalty, much mercy doing, and my favorite, loyal love. This word used 245 times, the vast majority as a picture of God's love for you is a picture, and for His people is a picture of His loyal love. It's also based on a covenant or an agreement that God makes with people. It's known as a covenantal love, an agreement-based love. And here's what that references. A covenant is God's commitment, in this word, God's commitment to do a generous and surprising amount of good in another's life over the long term, not based on their performance, but based on His own promise. See, God made a promise in Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus, just before He died, when communion was offered to His followers in the upper room, He says, the bread represented His body broken for us, and the cup represented His blood shed for us. And all of it was a picture of a new covenant, right? A new agreement made in His blood, a promise. a promise that wasn't primarily about us, a promise that was about God through Jesus Christ, agreeing to forgive and work and restore in our lives. And that's why today I can remind you with confidence that God, based on his promise, is a God who shows you mercy. He is a God who shows you kindness. He's a God who shows you loving kindness. He's a God who shows you steadfast love. He loves you with a faithful love. He wants to show you abundant goodness, great loyalty, much mercy doing. He is a God who loves you with a loyal love. And it's not based on what you've done. It's based on what Christ has done on your behalf. And right now, when things are a little blurry, and when we aren't sure what's coming tomorrow, and we aren't sure like what the holidays are going to look like, we just got to make sure our lenses are adjusted right. We got to look beyond the immediate to the God who loves us. See, today some of us need to move up to the king's table. It's time to move up to the king's table. You need to upgrade your view of how God views you. You need to see that you are a child of the king, an heir of his kingdom, a person that he honors in Jesus Christ. I know you might be facing hard things. I know the days may seem dark, but it's all temporary. It won't last. Trouble will come and go, but his love is long-term. His blessing will keep coming. His goodness has no end. Listen, his kindness is unstoppable. His invitation, it's irrevocable. His honor, it can't be canceled. His mercy, it's permanent. His grace is forever. His loyal love will outlast whatever has you on your last leg. You got to move up to the king's table and remember who you are in him. You got to, and if frankly, like, you got to stay at that table if you really want to have the whole blessing. Listen to what Mephibosheth says in all of this. 2 Samuel chapter 9, beginning in verse 8. Mephibosheth bowed respectfully and exclaimed, "Who is your servant that you should show such kindness to a dead, what, dog like me?" Now, in the ancient world, dogs were not viewed the way we often view dogs. You didn't like have, "Hey, this is my little pet dog that I never leaves my side, and I give him like, you know, Evian water or whatever, you know, like special water." And they go, no, dogs were like the lowest of the low, right? Dogs were outcast. And here's Mephibosheth. He's like, "Man, why would you show such kindness to me, David? I'm just a dead dog. I'm not worth anything. I'm nobody. I'm hanging out in Lodabar." So you can take a person out of Lodabar, but sometimes you can't get the Lodabar out of the person. Listen, you can have God's loyal love, you can be seated at the king's table, and you can still feel like a dead dog. You know, you can fall out of the chair at the king's table, if you will. And that's why we got to keep showing up, keep leaning in online, keep coming back, keep allowing God to remind us who we really are. So David calls the servant Ziba back into the court in this moment. And he tells him that Mephibosheth now owns the land, all the land that his father Saul once owned. Awesome. But he wants Ziba to manage it so that Mephibosheth can stay close to the king, so that he could eat at the king's table every single day, so that he wouldn't have to leave. In other words, David cleared a way for Mephibosheth. And in many ways, it's a picture of the way God clears for you and I. I mean, listen, Jesus has done the work in our lives. He's already done the heavy lifting. He offers you the gift of salvation so you can sit at the table. God wants you to know him. He wants you to be honored in relationship with him. He wants you in his family. He wants you nearby. He wants you within earshot. He wants your friendship, your kinship. He wants to show you his surprising generosity. God wants to fill your life with good things. He wants to share his wisdom. He wants to share his insight. He wants you to feel your purpose. God wants you to know your calling. He wants you to rise up to your potential. He wants you to know his ways. He wants you to know his heart. God wants you to know who you belong to, but you got to sit at the table. Right? You got to take your rightful place. You got to come boldly into his presence. You got to come regularly into his presence. You got to feast on what he gives you. You got to listen to what he tells you. And you got to thank him for what he gives you. It's going to be a different Thanksgiving. But no matter what kind of Thanksgiving it is, I think we can all agree it's better than the alternative. And we can still give thanks in this situation. We can still give thanks even when we don't know what's coming tomorrow. We can still give thanks because of who God is. And this is a time to lean in. Make sure you're opening your Bible every day in this season. Make sure you're spending some time in prayer and worship. Man, grab Central Lives. Go online and stream their Christmas album. It's amazing. And if you love Christmas music and your spouse or family isn't so into it, this is a way you can kind of sneak it in early. I'm working this to my benefit. But now we got to lean in and sit at the table. You know, Mephibosheth would sit at the king's table the rest of his life, and he would remain loyal to David the rest of his life for that incredible act of generosity. In fact, even later when David finds himself in exile as his son Absalom tries to overtake the kingdom, Mephibosheth, he wouldn't shave or wash his clothes, nasty, until David was back at his table in his place of authority. It's a response to somebody who was so undeserving in their own eyes, who received such incredible love. And it's similar to our response today. God has loved us with such incredible love. We don't deserve it, but we get to enter into it. And we're living through something none of us have ever lived through. The world has been through this before. People always say these times are totally unprecedented, but we've had pandemics before. We've been through things in the world before, but you and I have never been through it before. We're living through stuff in our lifetime that's new to us, and we're trying to walk through it. And it's important right now that we get our vision clear, because how you see your situation has everything to do with how you navigate it. And if you can't see clearly right now, you'll be stumbling and tripping all over the place. But when you look past the Lodabar, when you remind yourself you're seated at the table, when you remember God is good and he is for you, when you remember that God's love will see you through whatever you're going through, it can empower you to take it one day at a time right now and to show that love to others and to relax and stop borrowing trouble from tomorrow and stop trying to look into an unknown future, but trust a God who knows the future and who has it in his hand. That's all we can do right now. And it's one of the best lessons that we can learn in this season. So how do you hang on to God's loyal love? Well, remember that even when your setbacks are happening, they're temporary, but God's love is long-term. You know your story, but you don't yet know the whole story. And then we can sit at the table and remember how God sees us. Someone that he's eager to bless, not based on our performance, but based on his own promise. Let his loyal love define your situation rather than letting your situation define God's love. I believe today he's asking, who can I show kindness to? And the answer for us today is you. It's me. His loyal love is going to see us through whatever we're going through. Maybe you're here today, and maybe you've never really reached out and received that love in your life. The Bible says through a simple act of faith, you can place your hope and your trust in Jesus Christ, believing that he came and lived 2,000 years ago, that he died on a cross for your sins, that he rose again, and that through faith in him, you receive not only forgiveness, but the gift of God's Spirit. You begin to walk in his love and in his power. And you could walk out today. You could turn your mobile device off today and know that you will never be alone. Jesus says, I am with you even to the end of the age. Doesn't mean you won't face difficulties. Doesn't mean you won't face problems, stresses, heartaches. The Bible's very realistic about that. But it does mean you won't face it alone. God will be with you, and he will work through it in your life in powerful ways. So I'd like to ask everybody to please bow your heads and close your eyes. And if you'd like to become a follower of Jesus today, you can begin that journey by repeating a simple prayer after me, either out loud or in your own heart and mind. And say, dear God, I thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending Jesus into the world. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he rose again. Forgive me for my sins. Give me the gift of eternal life. Help me face the challenges that I'm up against. God, I surrender my life to you. In Christ's name. And friends, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's your prayer today, if it's your commitment, I want to ask you to just slip your hand in the air. Just acknowledge you're going to follow him today and you're going to trust him. Whatever location you may be at, if you're watching online, wherever you're at, just slip your hand in the air. Acknowledge you're going to follow him and trust him in your life. God, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you meet us wherever we are, but you never leave us there. And that you always see us through with your kindness and your goodness. And we give you praise right now for many people reaching out to you, experiencing your love and your goodness. And I pray you'll fill their life with joy and purpose and meaning and remind them even right now of your goodness to them in their life. God, for all of us today, may we just adjust our sights to you. Will you remind us and just impress on us that you are still large and in charge, and you are our God, and we can rest in your love. We thank you for inviting us up to your table, and we sit there today with joy. In Christ's name we pray, amen.